There's been a surge of attacks against Asian Americans in the U.S. Even the president, Joe Biden, addressing these attacks as xenophobia, calling it unacceptable and un-American. As most people know, ever since the emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic, there has been a lot of blame squared against the Chinese, but also as a kind of sort of ignorant reaction against all people who look Asian. And so there have been movements now underway to bring more awareness to these issues, as well as stop the racism and xenophobic attacks that have some underlying roots in white supremacy. So to give us some further analysis on what's going on right now and the current level of xenophobia in the U.S., we're pleased to be joined by Professor Russell Jung from the Department of Asian American Studies and College of Ethnic Studies at San Francisco State University on the line. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Professor. So the rise in attacks, hate crimes against Asian Americans and the Pacific Islander community really coinciding with the COVID-19 pandemic. And I guess there's some people who blame this on Asians or think that this is an Asian disease. And there are some suspicions there. There have been some very tragic instances, a 61-year-old suffering a fatal injury to the face, a death of an 84-year-old Thai man after he was shoved to the ground. What are your thoughts on these attacks, and what do you make of the current level of xenophobia in the U.S.?
Well, last year, when COVID arrived from Asia, we knew that Asians would be scapegoated and targeted with racism, and so we created a tracking center called Stop AAPI Hate. Mm. And immediately, we were flooded with hundreds of incidents across the nation. President Trump's stigmatizing language, using the term Chinese virus, led to a spike in hate violence. So his hate speech led to hate violence, and there's a clear correlation. That type of hate speech and racism continued and then just gave license over the past year for people to target Asian Americans and to attack us. What we're seeing now this year are more attacks against our elderly that are really heinous. During Lunar New Year, the first thing we do is greet our elders and bow to them. Right. Asian Americans are seeing their elders attacked. And so these attacks may not be racially motivated, but they're still leading to a climate of fear and anxiety within our Asian American population.
And we are getting more awareness of this issue, and that's certainly of considered to be good news. Here in Korea, there have been some concerns expressed that Asians, including Koreans who are either foreign exchange students or immigrants or tourists who are traveling to places like the United States, are going to be potential victims of these attacks. Prominent Asian Americans have been raising their voices through social media. We've got hashtags like Stop Asian Hate, Asian Lives Matter, Asians Are Humans. Is it helpful that there does seem to be some kind of social media campaign that is raising awareness of this?
Yeah, it's really helpful. We wouldn't get the attention that we are getting now if it weren't for the broader Asian American community raising their voices and complaining. That's what our reporting center was helpful for, creating a collective voice to identify the issues and to raise our voices together. And celebrities using their platform, professional athletes, it's been really helpful. And that's why President Biden issued an executive memo denouncing the racism. That's why Congress passed a resolution fighting for Asian Americans. If it weren't for this outcry, what's been happening would go under the radar in mainstream America.
The issue of racial justice really has come to the fore. It's always been an issue for many decades in the U.S., as we all know. However, it really gained global attention during the summer of 2020, when after the racist murder of George Floyd, and really we saw a greater mainstream of acceptance now of Black Lives Matter and the causes that they represent. And there are a lot of, I think, nuances to the debate of being allies to the cause. And I think some elements might feel that, well, what is afflicting Hispanics or Blacks is different than what affects Asian Americans. And I would venture to say some people feel that the Asian Americans have a very different experience, maybe even a better experience in places like the U.S. How important do you think it is as far as this over-encompassing effort of racial justice to also try to include elements that where you might not necessarily have a knee-jerk sympathetic reaction to what Asian Americans go through and how that can be a legitimate part of the cause? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. So Asian Americans are racialized differently than African Americans in the U.S. We're either considered insiders, the model minority, or outsiders, the perpetual foreigner. And actually, we're much more akin and in solidarity with the Latinx community in that way. Mm-hmm. As a perpetual foreigner, we could be excluded from migrating. We could be detained and deported. And as we've seen this past year, in a third of our incidents, people are telling us, go back to China, you effing chink, you don't belong here. And so we're seen as outside threats. So as we battle that binary racism to dismantle white supremacy, I see ourselves in partnership with Black Lives Matter as they work on a different level of racism, also trying to dismantle that system that racializes groups. So I think we're in partnership. I think Asian Americans are the racial group most in favor of Black Lives Matter because we're not just allies. We're actually in solidarity in this racial justice front together. And we face different forms of racism, but we're both facing white oppression, and we need to dismantle the system that institutionalizes this type of rhetoric. You know, policies, we're not only blamed and met with interpersonal violence, but we faced racist policies last year.
Yep.
Trump banned Chinese researchers. Trump banned migration. Trump cut refugee resettlement. Trump cut H-1B visas. They all disproportionately impact Asian Americans.
Right. Well, and I know you can't lump in all Trump supporters. Not all of them are racist, blah, blah, blah. But if you support Trump, you are decidedly not too uncomfortable with some of the racist rhetoric that comes out of his more vocal supporters. More than 70 million said that they like what they see with what Trump represents. What do you think going forward under the Biden administration? Do you see any hope for the next 4 years? We do have an Asian American vice president in Kamala Harris due to her Indian heritage. Can we move in a more positive direction?
I'm hopeful. You know, again, Trump's executive memo and even his Lunar New Year message denounce anti-Asian racism again. So it's a marked contrast to the inflammatory language that Trump used that actually incited racial violence. Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful. We're working with his Department of Justice to expand civil rights protections. We're working with other agencies to have an interagency approach to dealing with racism against Asian Americans. So I think there's a lot more openings for the community to work with this administration to further our community's public safety and our health.
Right. And a lot of this, again, there are some deep-seated grievances and perhaps xenophobic attitudes, but a lot of this has come to the fore during the COVID-19 pandemic. And that is, again, probably number one priority for the Biden administration right now is to get a clamp on that. And you would hope that some of the benefit synergistic effects of controlling COVID-19 would also go a long ways towards controlling some of the attacks that we've seen against Asian Americans and hopefully lay the groundwork of preventing this from happening or at least lessening it in the future. And we do appreciate efforts like yourself in bringing this issue to light. Professor Chung, thank you once again for joining us, and hopefully we can talk to you again.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That was Professor Russell Chung from San Francisco State University. We're moving on to part four of the program. We've got a lot more in store for you, including our online voices and sports update after this.